It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, as we are every Thursday. He's Big Joe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. JoJo, what's up?
It's crazy, man. May is almost over, and then June, and then pop July, and next thing you know, football's here, and we're good to go. So, goodbye, May. We hardly knew you, but what a beautiful day downtown. Looking out on the streets of Nashville from the beautiful, I mean the beautiful, Omni Nashville Hotel here at Kitchen Notes.
Now, see, where I sit, my back's kind of to the window, which is probably good because I got to drive the car.
Yeah.
Because if I was over there, we'd be in ditches and, you know.
Well, yeah, but you can, like, to your left and look out and see all the beautiful people who are enjoying Nashville on this absolutely perfect day. But, you know, every day above ground, like my good friend Pitbull says, is good.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah, hashtag blessed, indeed.
We got a big show planned today. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski at 9:30, as we usually do, get into several different things. I got a rant, though. This is something I've noticed. And I'm going after our brothers and sisters of media a little bit on this. Now I get it. Now we are in the doldrums yet? We're not in the
doldrums means things are bad. No.
Yeah, no, I mean we're not in the dog days of
summer.
We're
in the slow part.
Right. We've entered the slow season. So I get it. But like I'm looking at Twitter and you know, yeah, there were a few comments yesterday from Titans OTAs that got my attention. You know, Calvin Ridley's trying to compare Treylon Burks to, you know, Julio Jones and A.J. Brown and T.O. And I'm like, all right, man. Like, okay.
Right.
You know, and so there's that going on. You got Arden Key that basically took Mike Vrabel and the coaching staff, put them behind the bus and hit reverse.
Right.
Which was, I was like, whoa, okay, all right. So, I mean, yeah, there was some stuff. You know, to talk about, but like I see these tweets and this, like, oh, this competition, all this stuff, and I'm like, guys, girls, it's voluntary OTAs.
Oh man, I know, but they got to do something.
I mean, I mean, we should talk about it. It's there. I understand, but they're voluntary OTAs.
Yeah.
Like, when we go on rants about, oh, this guy's not there, I can't believe he's not there. Okay, all right. He should probably be there. You're right.
Yeah.
It's voluntary.
Right, exactly right. He's not there. My thing is with the media, and a TV station had what we call the lower third, the graphic at the bottom, and it said Titans defense looking strong during OTAs.
Like, how do you know?
Practicing against air.
Right.
And so somebody had, like, Calvin really looked good running this dig route. He's being guarded by no one.
Right.
He should catch the damn ball. So it's every year.
So here's my favorite now. This is the new thing. And look, is it cool? I mean, you tell me if it's cool or not because you play the position. But I guess Bill Callahan has this thing called Bertha that's like a sled, but the sled, like, bends forward. So you have to go up, you know, under it from an angle,
right,
or whatever, to, you know, to get to it. And they showed, like, J.C. Latham last week, who was struggling against it, and everybody's getting their ass kicked against this thing. And then yesterday he was dominant, and I'm like, it's a sled.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's something. It's always,
like,
something new.
I don't
new.
Care about that. Like, I mean, you know.
It's something new that pops out there every year that they got all the media, and we're, you know, I'm guilty of it too as well that do that. But it's around the league, and it's OTAs, and it's just, to me, it's nothing. It's really nothing. I mean, and you start, to me, it's when the 7-on-7s with the joint practice starts and things like that go on. But I mean, it's football, and people eat it up for a little bit, but just stop with the narrative. Like, they're looking great out there. Well, you know what? All 32 teams are looking great out there at this time of the year.
They are. And look, there are a few things that I do want to talk about, and we'll get the, you know, the audio for some of these. But, like, it just – there's – you can tell it's that time of year. Just we're trying to find things. Now, what gets my attention is when somebody says something that you go, like, wait, what? For instance, do we have this yet, the Calvin Ridley?
Yes, sir.
All right, this is Calvin Ridley yesterday on Treylon Burks.
Yeah, this dude is a freak.
I gotta see how.
Like, seriously, bro, he's gonna be a stud. There's no worries in him. You know, what I see, he's like Julio, AJ Brown. He's like T.O. Dude, that big, that fast, man. I mean, he's a stud, man. You don't gotta worry about him. You just gotta learn, slow the game down. He's gonna be all right.
Was he watching tape at Arkansas? Then yes.
Well, now, and this yesterday, too, Treylon Burks said that this offense reminds him of what he ran at Arkansas. And so everybody's like, oh, here we go. Burks unlocked. Which, if that I'm going to say this right now. If that happens, if that's the truth, if it's the offense that he ran at Arkansas and it unlocks him and he balls out and he becomes one of the best receivers on this team. I'm not even going to say in the league. He becomes one or two on the Tennessee Titans. I will sit either here or in the studio and I'll go, good job.
You just did it.
Good job, young man.
Yeah.
Like, go get it. I want that to happen. But I'm not going to sit here and go like, oh, here we go.
Look, all
because
I know,
what I have seen has exactly. been a giant disappointment.
Yeah, for the last two seasons, your proof is on your tape. At 22 and 23, there's nothing really there. I mean, there's a few moments like, oh, I wonder. But here's the deal. Somebody would accuse all the media of rooting against him. Nobody I know is rooting against him.
DeAndre Hopkins was asked, are we sleeping on Treylon Burks? And he goes, I'm not we. And then that was the whole, like, I'm going to give you a soundbite or whatever. Nine says that.
Yeah.
Like, y'all are sleeping on him. Like, oh,
but that doesn't mean we don't want him to succeed.
Right.
I would love nothing more than Treylon Burks to be an all-pro receiver. Can you imagine? I mean, it'd be great. All we have to go by is your sample size, which is bad.
You know who really wants to see him succeed?
Mike Vrabel.
John Robinson.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. You're exactly right. Yeah. So nobody's rooting against him. I don't know where this all came from. And, you know, Hopkins is one that, you know, doesn't, you know, I don't pay what you guys are paying, read anything you guys are doing. But, you know, all the simple things of getting at the media when he reads everything. We know that.
Of course
we talked to him in Miami.
And that's fine.
Yep. Just don't say you don't. And if you got an opinion, that's fine.
Or say you don't. Keep doing your thing. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I agree.
Like when a coach, because Vrabel was the same way. Vrabel used to, you know, be like, oh, I put the noise out. Like, you knew every bleeping thing that was coming out of everybody's mouth.
Yep.
And it got to you towards the end. D-Hop can do whatever he wants. Like, watch it. Watch, listen, comment on it. That's great. If that motivates him, I don't care what he does.
So, Ridley said he's to be that big and that fast, right?
Right.
So, when he starts doing that way, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but when the Titans drafted a guy named Chris Henry out of Arizona, the guy was built like a brick, you know what. I mean, he was huge. He was big and strong, but didn't love football and didn't like content. And they took him in the second round. And, I mean, guy was a physical specimen. Like, the guy was
liked him a lot, right?
The guy, we'll get in that in a minute. The guy was built better than Derrick Henry ever was.
Right.
I mean, he was just, you saw this guy. I was like, there's no way I could tackle this guy. And you realize he wasn't good. So they drafted him based off a workout they saw at Arizona. And it was like, this guy's a Greek god. And allegedly, when they brought him in, Chris Henry in 2007, they were like, well, this guy didn't really do much at Arizona. And a scout allegedly said, our job is to find them. Your job is to coach them. This is 2007. This is what I was told from a very good source inside the building.
Was that scout's key card taken immediately? Or?
Well, I think that was Floyd's last year. I don't think Floyd took him. I think it was
Floyd's last
Reinfeldt.
Year was 06.
Yeah, Reinfeldt took him. And the scout, they brought him in there, and then he was like, oh, yeah, this guy's nothing. I mean, they already had Lindell White on the team, and it was just wasn't good at all.
Yeah.
Sounds like to me.
Look, I mean, there are those things that happen. But I will always, you know, like with Levis, with Burks, with you know, some of the first, second-year guys, I know Burks is going into his third year, it's a new coaching staff. So I'll give them a little bit to see if it works. Because, I mean, you know this, that there are guys, like especially quarterbacks, that are system quarterbacks that work in a certain system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, dare I say Tom Brady worked in a specific system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he did. He won 7 Super Bowls, basically running the same offense his entire career.
He did.
So there's nothing wrong with it. You just got to figure out what works for the guy. That's what made Ken Whisenhunt such a terrible coach, is he was so damn determined that his offense was going to work for everybody and that his offense was God's gift to the world, that he ruined Jake Locker. He started the process of Marcus Mariota, even though I think Marcus just wasn't as good as everybody thought he was.
Yeah.
But it's coaches like that that end up getting fired because it's like, no, my offense is the best. You have to run it where you got to like, – what I think Brian Callahan's doing is he's adapting his offense to the player.
Well, I think you have to have a middle ground. I think you still have to be true to who you are. But also, all right, you know, Levis looks great bootlegging to the left. Well, let's bootleg him to the left. My system is a bootleg to the right. Well, let's go to the left, see what he can do this way.
Right.
There's all these things that you could do with all that. But have you seen the video I saw it yesterday of former Steelers offensive coordinator Matt Canada in the booth when Pickett throws his touchdown to win a game or whatever it was. And all the coaches in the booth are going crazy, but Matt Canada is mad because Pickett audibled out of this call. And he's in the – and I'm thinking – man, sometimes you just got to let the guys play and be happy about that. And it was like, God, I hope that doesn't happen here. And just let the guy, let Levis make plays, and I think he will.
And there is a balance on that when you're, you know, you get to a certain point in your career where you have carte blanche to improvise.
Yep.
And then, you know, there are times where it's like, hey, great play, don't do it again. You know, where like, if you, prime example, you look at some of the throws that Levis made last year that that did work ultimately,
right?
They should have been picked off. Like he made some bad throws that ended up he got lucky on.
Let me ask you: is Brett Favre a system quarterback? Because what you just said, Mike Holmgren always said about Brett Favre, don't do that again.
Yeah,
and he'd do it again.
No, yeah, Brett was different. Like every, you know, you're always going to have like, oh, he kind of reminds me of Brett Favre. There is only one Brett Favre.
Do you think Levis should be unleashed? I do.
A little bit, yeah. I do.
Just let it go. If you see it, go deep.
Because you don't get him all the weapons you got him if you don't do that.
I totally agree. Yeah. So that's why, you know, when the Packers got Reggie White in 93, Favre had said, all right, we're going to go out there. I'm going to make mistakes. You guys got to help me out, and I'll save your butt too. And it became this cohesive unit, which led to the Super Bowl in 96. And, of course, they lost it in 97. But I think with Levis, I just like to see him just go.
Yeah.
Just go and run. Now, should he call his own plays? No. But should he be able to audible? Absolutely.
And I think what they're doing, and I heard Derek mention this yesterday, is they're just trying to get him out of some bad habits. Like, he was developing some bad habits. Get that kind of worked out, which I think they are. And then, yeah, let him go.
Yeah, I mean, he's never going to be perfect.
No, nobody's. Yeah.
No quarterback. I mean, look, Manning's first year and 3-13.
Holds the record for interceptions.
God, it was terrible. But, of course, Manning got in there and he worked hard. But they also, they put pieces around him. They built the offensive line, got him great receivers. And, of course, the most underrated Indianapolis Colt of all time, Dallas Clark.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
100%. Underrated. And, I mean, he helped Manning more than Manning helped him out. So, I think Titans fans need to relax. And I think once Levis is unleashed and ready to go, I think he'll be just fine.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai. com. Cameron says nobody has ever had a better offseason than Treylon Burks. Every single offseason, then he goes out and puts up 200 yards and zero touchdowns. So that is certainly true for him. Coming up next, we're going to talk to our buddy Chip Walters.
Yeah.
MTSU, there's an event going on in our city tonight involving the Blue Raiders. We'll tell you about that. Plus Greg Wyshynski at the bottom of the hour. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Baby, if you've ever wondered.
To Big Joe live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Always.
We're hyper-local here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And, of course, proud partners of the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders. We say hello to the voice of the Blue Raiders, Chip Walters, who is with us now. Chip, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm wondering how many bowls of oatmeal JoJo has had because I've seen him in action before, and it's always impressive.
He's had two bowls of oatmeal and some eggs and potatoes so far, and he's been here 20 minutes.
I'm just starting, buddy.
That's right. I mean, but you got to set a pace though. That's good.
I do, yeah. I have to set myself going that way I don't overindulge. All right, Chip, the MTSU, I guess, not only the football, but the athletic program is on this tour they do every summer. And tonight we're in Nashville, correct?
We are. Just to back up a little bit, we started this on Tuesday night with a stop in Murfreesboro at Happy Sports Lounge and had a packed house there. And then yesterday we were in Tullahoma at Ascend Federal Credit Union's headquarters, and last night at Riverbend Country Club in Shelbyville, and packed houses both of those. Today we're going to be at lunchtime down in Smyrna at the Smyrna Event Center at 11:30. And then tonight we'll start gathering at 5:30 out at Tailgate Brewery headquarters off Charlotte Pike out in West Nashville. And the full crew will be there. We've got Coach Derek Mason has been at every stop. And it's been amazing. Not only his talks have been great, and when he's really good in these situations, but what's been really impressive is when the thing is over, basically, and we've kind of said, okay, program's over, but hang around, whatever. I mean, Derek's there. He is shaking every hand, answering every question, talking to anybody that wants to talk, taking pictures. And the same goes for, Nick McDevitt and Rick Ensel. They were both there in Murfreesboro and then last night in Shelbyville. And a lot of our other head coaches of numerous sports were, of course, in Murfreesboro, and some of them have been at the other spots, and we'll see some more of them today. So that's it's always a lot of fun, and those folks who are fans and alums get to come out and have some one-on-one time with the coaches, and they really enjoy it. And typically wherever we go, and Joe understands this, we typically have pretty good grub wherever we go, and that's been the case.
Yeah, right.
Chip Walters is with us, and what you just said about Coach Mason, I remember that energy and that exuberance when he was at Vanderbilt. I saw it when he was introduced as the head coach at Middle, and I feel like you're seeing it firsthand now. He's a guy that's genuinely excited to be around people, and obviously coaching ball.
He does, and what's been really interesting is in these first three stops, there's been very little conversation about X's and O's and that kind of thing. What he has talked a lot about is culture, what they want to build. He keeps talking about, fan experience and building that. If you come to Floyd Stadium right now, on the north end, you've got the Student Athlete Performance Center, a $65 million building going up. And yesterday they started tearing down the old video board in the south end zone, and there'll be a brand new one going up that'll be ready for this fall. So there's a lot of stuff going on and a lot of things to be excited about. And as the summer goes on, we'll talk more about, obviously the different position groups and all that kind of stuff. But he has really – he's pointed out Nick Vadiato, and Joe and I have been the fortunate witnesses to see that young man, and he is absolutely a special quarterback. And when you can build an offense around him and his skill set and what they have done, bringing in receivers and kind of revamp the offensive line and the offensive system that Bodie Reeder brings from Northern Iowa – It's a power run game that's still wide open, and they had tons of success with it at Northern Iowa, and it's a style of offense I think you're going to like. And when you talk about the defensive side, Derek was obviously the architect of some really good defenses at Vanderbilt, but even before that out at Stanford, and he's kind of taken that blueprint and talking about how he wants to, repeat what they've done on that side of the ball here, and have that physicality and that speed and just the right level of nastiness to get after people, and he wants it to be a brand of football that people love to see and want to be there, and he has really kind of challenged the folks who've been at these events. He goes, "Hey, I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about the crew you're going to bring with you to fill the stadium, because we want it to be we want our Saturdays in Murfreesboro to be like Boone, North Carolina, or Statesboro, Georgia, or Boise, Idaho, where everything shuts down. It doesn't matter who you're playing. It's all about supporting your home guys, and that's been his message in all of these stops.
I love it. Talking to Chip Walters, who I think is the best voice in college athletics. Tonight's event at Tailgate Brewery in West Nashville, 5:30 doors open. The event starts at 6. Chip, I think with Derek Mason, I think when I think about what he's doing and everything and that energy, I think he's grateful for this opportunity.
You know, I think so. He's talked about this a couple of times on this tour that, He talked about the fact when the SEC called, wanted him to be on TV, and it was a great opportunity. And during that 1 year, he goes, you know, he's talked about this several times, that, you know, when you're a football coach and you are so immersed in what you're doing day to day, you know, all you really see is your team, your program, what you're getting to do. He said the year on television last year really opened his eyes, because let's say he did 12 games, that exposed him to 12 different coaching staffs, or 24 coaching staffs during the season, and opening his eyes to different things. He said it really opened his eyes from the offensive side of the ball, and so many different creative things he was seeing out there. And I think that can only be pay dividends for Middle. But, you know, he said, you know, that year was great. He goes, but bottom line, when you get to it, you know, he goes, I'm a football coach. That's where I need to be.
Yeah.
And he goes, last year re-energized him, opened his eyes to a lot of things, and he's ready to go.
Well, Chip, looking forward to it tonight. 5:30, the doors open there at Tailgate on Charlotte Pike. And I know got a cool panel set up. Jill Jelnick going to be a part of that. You and others. But I appreciate you coming on today. Good to talk to you, and we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, Corey Curtis, Chris Harris, Steve Lehman, Jill Jelnick. They're going to be talking about the issues in college sports, along with Coach Mason and Chris Massaro, and how Middle fits into all of that. So if you're a Blue Raider fan, it's free. Come on out tonight. 5:30 out at Tailgate Brewery headquarters on Charlotte. Appreciate the time, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Chip Walters, voice of the Blue Raiders,
joining us
here in the program. And, of course, you can hear their games this fall on 93.3 Classic Hits.
You can. You want my Chris Massaro impression?
Of course.
Well, y'all come on out tonight at the Tailgate Brewery out in Bellevue, and we'll discuss a lot of topics. You know, I had Joe and Chase a few years ago. I had this same kind of format going on. And every time we had a good time, then we went honky-tonking. And then I don't remember the next 4 days of my life. thank you, Chris Massaro.
There you go. That's very, very good. We will shift gears coming up next. Hit the Ice with our man Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes today. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel. And we do this every Thursday at 9:30. We say hello to Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Before we get into the playoffs, yesterday on ESPN, on the Pat McAfee Show, Ryan Smith, one of the owners of the Utah franchise, made an impromptu visit, and apparently it's down to four names, including the Mammoth and the Yeti, for the new Utah franchise. How about that?
First off, shout out to McAfee for making news on a FaceTime call randomly with an NBA owner. Pretty dope. So here's the thing about that. First of all, those are two names that I really like. I actually think the Mammoth is kind of an amazing name insofar as, you know, the connotation of size, but also the connotation of evoking, you know, I mean, it makes you think of the Ice Age movies, right? The thing I have a problem with Yeti is that canonically, the plural of Yeti is Yetis. But they are really steadfast in saying it's going to be the Yeti and not the Yetis. So as a writer, as a grammarian, I'm probably going to be bugged by this in perpetuity. But I think probably for marketing reasons, it's probably the smart idea to just go with Yeti.
Well, I wonder, too, if they would go with a different name that's similar, but a Yeti would be the mascot, like the physical mascot.
No, nah, they'd go with Yeti. And it's not a bad name. I mean, like, it's two like, short words together. If you remember, the thing I've learned about Salt Lake City in a very short amount of time is that they hate Denver. Apparently, like, there's a real beef between Utah and Colorado as far as, like, who's the king of winter sports in the U.S. So, you know, the Avalanche do have that Bigfoot foot on their shoulder as, like, an alternate logo. So there is some heat there. You know, you get Yeti versus Bigfoot. To help supplement the already festering Utah versus Colorado rivalry.
See, I like the wrestling analogy. There's heat. You know, you got to build heat in the rivalry. So that's very, very good. All right, let's talk about the playoffs. And both of these series in the East and the West, I think, have been fantastic viewing. Edmonton scores 5 straight last night to even the series at 2, beats Dallas. You got the Rangers and the Panthers that I feel like they're going to overtime in every game. That series is tied at 2. I think the playoffs has been very, very fun to watch.
It has been, and I do think that the final 4 teams are probably the 4 best teams in the playoffs, which doesn't always happen.
I agree.
You know, the Oilers are a maddening team. I can't figure out if they're the team that we saw in the first 6 minutes of that game where they get smoked for 2 goals and look kind of disengaged, or if they're the team that we see for the rest of the game where they pay attention to their details, they dominate defensively. Like, they have it in them. They just don't do it all the time for some reason. And so, you know, if you wanted to cast it as kind of a series where Edmonton's either going to win or lose it, I think that's a fair assessment of that series. And then over in the East, it's really interesting because you're kind of at an inflection point for the Rangers. The Panthers in the last 2 games have just destroyed them at 5-on-5. We're talking like over 70% of the shots, the shot attempts, the scoring chances, the expected goals. Like, they absolutely rolled the Rangers, and yet it's still, you know, a 2-2 series. The question is are the Rangers going to be able to win the series without any contributions from their top players? Kreider doesn't have a point in the series. Mika Zibanejad doesn't have a goal in 9 games. Panarin's goal drought is 7 games. If these guys can turn it around, it's a different story. But as it stands right now, like, everything is trending in the Panthers' direction. But again, like, the Rangers are 2-2, and they find ways to win these games. And nothing is said and done until it's said and done.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN.
Greg, let me ask you about Peter Laviolette, because I think in Nashville, he wasn't appreciated enough. I know we love Barry Trotz and, you know, Peter left in 2019 and all that. Where does he rank? I mean, if the Rangers run the table and they win a Stanley Cup, he's won, you know, 2 with 2 different teams. He's taken 4 teams to the final. Where does he rank? Where does he rank now? I mean, but where would he rank if he is able to take the Rangers to the Cup?
Well, first of all, an amazingly charismatic guy. People call him the Ryan Gosling of hockey. I'm kidding, of course. He is a wonderful, gruff man who was the perfect coach for this team at this time. I think they needed someone like him to come in. Their confidence was a little bit shaken after losing to the Devils in 7 games last year. He comes in and he gives them structure. He gives them a defensive scheme. He really kind of like rebuilds this team a little bit from a confidence perspective and from a systems perspective that has really put them in a position to win. Look, man, I mean, if you win a cup in New York with the Rangers, you're a legend. I mean, Mike Keenan is a legend for having been behind the bench and watching a bunch of ex-Oilers lead the Rangers to their first cup in 54 years. If Peter Laviolette comes in here and the Rangers win their first cup in 30 years, he will be in that pantheon of legendary New York coaches that bring their team championships. And I don't think it's by accident. I think he's done some really good work on this team behind the scenes. And like I said, the right voice at the right time for this franchise.
I know you're not embedded here in Nashville, but I feel, Greg, oftentimes he gets overlooked, and I don't know why.
I think it's probably because he won a cup in Carolina, right, which is not winning a cup in a Canadian market or a major U.S. market. I think it's also because he's bounced around a bit. You know, he's a bit of a vagabond. And I'm sure that's probably factoring into it. It is interesting, by the way, to think about the four coaches that we have right now and how much attention is paid in this league to, oh, God, another retread. You got Paul Maurice, who's the definition of retread. You got Laviolette, who's bounced around like a rubber ball around this league. And then you got Pete DeBoer, who's, you know, on his, like, you know, fourth or fifth stop. So, like, for all the talk about retreads, I mean, you know, you got one newbie in Chris Knobloch with the Oilers, but everybody else has been very well-traveled in this league.
Also, I didn't think this would be big news around the league, but it's the fourth headline on ESPN.com. The Preds bringing back goaltending coach Mitch Korn. Look, we know him, what he's done here. The guy is – he, unlike Peter Laviolette, people love this guy. Mitch Korn comes back. What's that say for the franchise and Barry Trotz bringing this guy back?
I mean, he's in that pantheon of, like, the top three goalie coaches of the last, like, 20 years. I think it's, like, him, Francois Allaire, maybe Ian Clark's in that discussion, too. You know, he's got that mystique of being the goalie whisperer. And, you know, he had it in Nashville for a long time. Then he brings it over to the Islanders and does amazing work there with Sorokin and others. So the idea that he's back in action and going to apply his trade again in Nashville is really big news. I mean, I think it's great news for Askarov. I think it's great news for any goalie on that roster. I got the most respect for that guy. I've had long conversations with him about the art of goaltending. He's somebody who was a real leader in the goalie analytics movement as well. He's brilliant, and I'm very happy to see him back in the saddle, as it were, with an NHL gig.
I know you're still in playoff mode, obviously, and, you know, unfortunately here in Nashville, we've kind of had to move into the offseason talk since the Predators were eliminated, but they've already made the trade moving Ryan McDonagh. They have a ton of cap space, which is interesting because they're paying a couple of guys to not be here. They're still right. Paying Ryan Johansson. They bought out Duchesne. They're still paying Kyle Turris. I mean, there's, you know, obviously some dead cap money there, but Barry Trotz has done a really nice job opening up the salary cap for his team. So does that add some intrigue of maybe how active the Predators are going to be, albeit UC Soros probably takes a chunk of that?
Yeah, that's going to be that. I mean, Soros is the real question mark, right? As far as like what the plans are for the offseason. Where are they going to, you know, extend him? Are they going to trade him? Who knows? The goalie market's going to be really fascinating considering how many teams need them, how many could be available, and how aggressive a team, say like New Jersey, is going to be in acquiring one. The dead cap space, I think, necessitated the McDonagh trade. And then, you know, the real intrigue for me insofar as like what they add in the offseason is I feel like Barry Trotz, this is going to be one of the first times Barry Trotz is going to have a real chance to put a stamp on this roster from a personnel standpoint. You know, it's he's got enough time now, enough runway to understand what this team really looks like. And so that's exciting to me, you know, because as we talked about before, what we perceived Barry Trotz to be as an NHL coach is not necessarily what he is as an NHL executive insofar as the personality of this team, more offensive, more up-tempo under Andrew Brunette. And so I'm excited to see exactly what kind of player he envisions is right for this roster and you know, seeing how they go about acquiring them considering the constraints of the cap.
For sure, for sure. Greg, appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of the conference finals, and we'll see who makes it to the Stanley Cup final, but we'll talk next week.
That we shall. Thank you, boys.
Thanks. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joining us as he does every Thursday at 9:30. We've had a fast and furious first hour, and we're not done yet. What's next?
We're not. The great Terry Bradshaw is coming to town this weekend for a very special event. We'll tell you why he's here and how he can be a part of this when we come back, Chase.
We will do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Hey, get your team signed up now to play in the 615 Open at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, June 20th. Big Joe will be there. There will be delicious sample offerings from Prince's Hot Chicken, Bavarian Beer House, and more. Enjoy Michelob Ultra and other adult beverages at our sampling stations. Afterward, dinner is provided by Burger Republic. You can sign up today at 615open.com. Chase and Big Joe live today at the Omni Nashville. Hotel. And Joe, another event coming up this weekend.
There is a very special event I'm proud to be part of. I think the last 6 or 7 years, it's Volunteers of America. They do great work in our city and around the country. And it's not just the has nothing to do with the Tennessee Volunteers. This is a great organization that does some amazing work. Let's bring in Randy Brothers, my good friend. He's a State of Tennessee Development Director for Volunteers of America. Randy, good morning. How are you, sir?
Joe, doing well, brother. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Always good to talk to you. All right, for those out there that don't know what Volunteers of America and the mission you guys do, and I've seen it firsthand, Randy, and you guys, it's the way you guys change lives is amazing. Tell everybody what Volunteers of America is about.
Well, Joe, Volunteers of America has been in business for 126 years. We're in 43 states across our great nation. Agency values are integrity, compassion, diversity, commitment, and justice. Our mission statement is Volunteers of America Mid-States creates positive change in the lives of individuals and communities through a ministry of services. And primarily in Tennessee, Joe, we deal work proudly with individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We have 21 three-bedroom homes across our great state that have primarily three individuals living in each with severe disabilities. We don't have any that can work at all. Most of all of our individuals need help either eating or going to the restroom. So they're totally in our care until Jesus calls them home. And then we proudly serve in Johnson City and Knoxville, our Veterans Honors Program. We take care of our proud veterans' families as well as the individuals that are going through any kind of crisis, housing stability, employment, transportation, medical issues. So we do an array of services here in Tennessee around those two facets.
And the website is voamid.org, voamid.org. We're talking with Randy Brothers, State of Tennessee Development Director. And before we get into the event this weekend and Terry Bradshaw's in town, there's just a few tickets left. And I want people to know, but this is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, care for these men and women, correct?
Joe, the backbone of the Volunteers of America is our individuals. We call them DSPs or RSCs in our homes. They are the ones providing direct care to our beautiful individuals. It is not Randy Brothers. It's not the upper management of VOA. These individuals, they come, they do, they take care of, they feed, they bathe, they clean up, they cook. And they do it day in and day out. I'm not blessed to have that ability. And these are people that I respect, I look up to. And without them, we don't have an event, we don't have a program, and we don't have a VOA in Nashville, Tennessee. So big shout out to our DSPs and RSCs that take care of these individuals every single day. 365 days out of the year, we have three different shifts. Primarily, and they rotate paid employees to take care of the individuals, as you said, 365 days out of the year.
And this Sunday night, it's your annual 15th annual Tennessee Weekend of Champions, and the great Terry Bradshaw is in attendance. There are a few tickets left. I've heard him speak. He's fantastic. It's worth the money. It's worth everything to go see him because it benefits Volunteers of America. We did this last year. We had Derrick Henry. We did Peyton Manning. We had A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill. This is a fun event. Tell us about Terry Bradshaw and what this weekend, Randy, means to your organization.
Well, Joe, first of all, we have a fantastic MC in Joe Dubin and yourself, and I want to thank you for being part of this event and helping it grow over the years. So from my heart to yours, thank you so much. But this event is our only, one and only big fundraiser of the year. It's the only time that I will ever reach out to any sponsor or individual to say, hey, can you help us financially? The money we raise goes into our veterans programs, our DD community programs to help keep our homes open and to help keep veterans off the streets and help them in an array of services here in Tennessee. But this is I eat, sleep, and drink this 24/7. This is we have an advisory council that's made up with about 22 beautiful men and women, area businessmen and women that help us plan this event year round. So I'm kind of when the game's over on June 2nd and June 3rd, we start planning 2025 on June 4th. So it takes a lot of effort. And this year I'm proud to say we're going to be at the Gaylord Opryland Resort and Convention Center in the Tennessee Ballroom. We've got tickets, individual tickets are $125. Tables are 1,500 of 10-seat tables. And love to have the Nashville community come out. As you said, we got a few tickets left as well as tables, and you can reach right out to me, and I'll be more than happy to help you in any way I can.
Beautiful. Again, voamid.org. You can Google just Volunteers of America, and then everything will pop up there. Terry Bradshaw, Sunday golf tournament on Monday, a big event. Randy, thank you so much. We'll continue promoting this throughout the weekend. And then, like I said, it's a fun event. It's a good time. And my goodness, getting Terry Bradshaw there is going to be great. Randy Brothers, thank you, my man, and I'll see you Sunday.
I look forward to it. Thank you and 102.5 for having me this morning.
Absolutely. Randy Brothers, the State of Tennessee Development Director of Volunteers of America. Another great organization.
Yeah.
Chasing
that you've
our
been
area.
Involved with for a long time.
Yeah. They do a great work. We did, in fact, was 21. We were doing the event, and before we went on the stage with A.J. Brown and Tannehill, the Julio Jones news broke.
Oh, yeah.
So they were, like, freaking out, and then we imagine
AJ was excited, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then that didn't turn out to be. But, you know, anyway, that was fun. And then Peyton Manning 2 years ago, and then Derrick Henry last year, and Terry Bradshaw. It says he's going to be on the stage for about 45 minutes, but you know it's going to be about 3 hours. Because once he gets going, let him go.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to tell us how it goes on Monday.
He said to tell you hi.
Yeah, well, you tell him I said hi.
You know, it's funny with Terry Bradshaw, there is – his career, all right, so when he was Louisiana Tech, I think he beat out the Duck Dynasty guy for backup or for quarterback?
Maybe. Tech? Yeah, there was I remember seeing some story about that.
And then when he was at Pittsburgh, he got beat out by Joe Gillum of TSU, yeah. The great Jefferson Street Joe Gillum. And then Terry took advantage of the opportunity and became what it was. And so there's a lot of Nashville and worldly tie-ins with Terry Bradshaw.
So I've told you I have a lot of family down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And one of my cousins has a ranch outside of Fort Worth, close to North Texas.
Somebody's got money.
Yeah. But so I don't really know how to keep going there. But anyway, so we drove around one day and everything. He goes, I'm going to show you something cool. And we pull up to this another ranch. It's got all these gates around it. But like every other gate, there's a 12 on it.
Oh.
And the front gates are black and gold, 12. I think it even had the Steelers logo, and it's Bradshaw's.
Oh, that's awesome.
Ranch.
I think he is. And this is another discussion, June topic. I think he's also, to me anyway, overlooked as a great quarterback because
I agree.
He's overshadowed by the defense and Franco and Lynn Swann and Stallworth and all that. And I think anybody could have run that team. No. I mean, that guy was perfect. He admits it. Country Bumpkin running that team and being their first draft choice by the Steelers, I think, in 70.
Our great listeners always seem to know the answer. 6638 says he didn't beat out Phil Robertson. Phil quit to go duck hunting, giving Terry the job.
Sounds like he beat him out to me, but yeah.
Maybe saw the writing. Stay one step ahead of the jailer.
That's right. Thank you for that. Yeah, I knew there was some kind of connection involved there.
I'd be curious when you talk about Bradshaw. If you ask like a true diehard Steelers fan that has lived and breathed Pittsburgh Steelers football since they've been born, even if they didn't see Bradshaw play, like if you go, all right, you got one drive, are you taking Bradshaw or are you taking Roethlisberger, who they would pick? Because I think it would be pretty split. Now, you're going to have the older Steelers fan that are going to say Bradshaw all day.
Yep. You're right.
You know, and maybe the younger ones will say Roethlisberger.
But, you know, Big Ben, because of what he did in the Super Bowl versus the Cardinals, and that drive, that'll stand out.
I mean, that throw and then to Santonio Holmes and
all that. But, I mean, you know, Bradshaw, 4 Super Bowls. I mean, they have a quarterback, but they're like, anybody could hand the ball off to Franco. You know, and that defense. And that, you know, it's I always hated this argument about Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Well, he had Jerry Rice. Okay. It's not his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry Rice. I mean, that's Ken Anderson. The Bengals was a fantastic quarterback.
Sure.
He didn't have Jerry Rice. So you look at what happens and goes on. Montana has always said, I was grateful they drafted Jerry Rice.
Was there this – I had somebody tell me, obviously, before my time. So is there this big campaign, one for the thumb in 81, when they were going for the, I guess, was that the fifth?
Could have been, yeah.
The fourth or the fifth.
Because they went back-to-back. They beat the Cowboys, and then they beat the Rams at the Rose Bowl. And that would have been the 80 season. The Raiders won that in 80.
Yeah.
Beat Dennis Harrison and Herm Edwards. Beat that Eagles squad that year. So
that was the coach was Dick Vermeil, right?
It was.
Yep.
Dick Vermeil and Tom Flores for the Raiders. But, again, yeah, I mean, that's a great question about leading. We always had that about leading your team down the field. But
yeah,
Bradshaw, who, you know, he four Super Bowls, man. You can't deny that.
615-737-1025. We've had a packed first hour. The next hour is all for you. We will discuss a lot of different things, including getting back into what we started the show with Titans OTAs and a little bit of a rant. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.